Okay, we come today to chapter 22 of 2 Chronicles. We're gonna cover in the 17th message, chapters 22 and 23. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Chronicles 22, verse 1. The people of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, Jehoram's youngest son, king in his place. Since the raiders who came with the Arabs into the camp had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was the new king in Judah. He had to be, because he was the only legitimate heir of Jehoram. Verse 2, Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, the royal couple in the northern kingdom. And that terrible pedigree, as far as spiritually speaking is concerned, I should say, that pedigree made Athaliah an expert in wickedness and idolatry. 3. He too walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother encouraged him in doing wrong. What a nice mom. She encouraged him in doing wrong. Mothers, you know, should be there to nurture their sons and their daughters, and to train them to be godly. She encouraged them to do wrong. The kid didn't have much of a chance, did he? But this is a case when a son should not have honored his mother, because she was nothing but trouble. Verse 4. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done. For after his father's death, they became his advisors to his undoing. And so the wicked relatives on his mother's side became Ahaziah's advisors. Verse 5. He also followed their counsel when he went to Joram, son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Aram, at Ramoth-Gilead. And so he made an alliance with cousin Joram, who was the godless king of the northern country of Israel. 6. The Arameans wounded Joram, so he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds they had inflicted on him at Ramoth in his battle with Hazael, king of Aram. Then Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to Jezreel to see Joram, son of Ahab, because he had been wounded. And it says in verse 7, through Ahaziah's visit to Joram, God brought about Ahaziah's downfall. When Ahaziah arrived, he went out with Joram to meet Jehu, son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to destroy the house of Ahab. God used Ahaziah's visit to ailing King Joram to bring an end to Ahaziah, as well as to the wicked reign of Jehoram in the north. And so it says in verse 8, while Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab, he found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's relatives who had been attending Ahaziah, and he killed them. And so while executing Joram and family, Jehu noticed some of Ahaziah's top men and executed them as well. Now, this is all done. This was punishment. God called Jehu to execute judgment against the house of Ahab, which is the royal family in the north at this point, because of their horrible idolatry and wickedness. And Ahaziah and his men got it too, for making an alliance with them, and also for being just as bad. Verse 8. While Jehu was executing judgment, I already read this, verse 9. He then went in search of Ahaziah, and his men captured him while he was hiding in Samaria. He was brought to Jehu and put to death. They buried him, for they said he was a son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So there was no one in the house of Ahaziah powerful enough to retain the kingdom. Well, all the princes of the south had been killed by Jehu, and the children of Ahaziah were still too young to be king. So there's a vacuum of power. And whenever there's a vacuum of power, it's a kind of a dangerous time. There's a danger that some bad opportunist will take advantage of it. And that's what happened. Verse 10, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family of the house of Judah. Athaliah kills all of her own grandchildren so that she could be the queen. She eliminates all potential future rivals, even though they were her son's children, and even though they were just little children. She didn't care. This wicked grandma committed cold-blooded murder against her own grandchildren. And now she sits on the throne of Israel. Can you imagine if David would have known of this? This woman is his distant offspring. She is now on his holy throne. Can you imagine what David would have done if he would have been around to see this? Verse 11, but Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, took Joash, son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the royal princes who were about to be murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom, because Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, and wife of the priest Jehoiada, was Ahaziah's sister. She hid the child from Athaliah, so she could not kill him. Wicked Athaliah missed one grandson, Jehoash. Jehoash was a one-year-old, and his own grandmother would have murdered him in cold blood if he had not been hidden in the temple by the priest and his godly wife. Verse 12. He remained hidden with them at the temple of God for 6 years while Athaliah ruled the land. Athaliah had no business ruling, but she did. She was allowed to usurp the throne for 6 years. Perhaps God was giving her an opportunity to repent. Chapter 23. In the seventh year, Jehoiada showed his strength. He made a covenant with the commanders of units of 100. Azariah, son of Jeroham, Ishmael, son of Jehohanan, Azariah, the son of Obed, Maaseiah, son of Adiah, and Elishaphat, son of Zichri. And so the good priest, Jehoiada, who had helped to hide little Joash, makes an agreement with the commanders of the guard in Jerusalem. Verse 2. They went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites and the heads of Israelite families from all the towns. When they came, well, let's stop right there. So see what's happening here is Jehoiada now has the support of key military leaders, priests throughout the land, and also the leaders of the 12 tribes in Israel. Verse 3, the whole assembly. It says, when they came to Jerusalem, the whole assembly made a covenant with the king at the temple of God. Jehoiada said to them, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord promised concerning the descendants of David. Jehoiada and his supporters agreed to overthrow wicked Athaliah and put 7-year-old Joash on the throne. And they would be in God's will by doing that too, because Joash was the legitimate heir to David's throne. Verse 4, now this is what you are to do. A third of you priests and Levites who are going on duty on the Sabbath are to keep watch at the doors. Now, the Levites worked, I guess you would call it, sort of a swing shift at the temple. Well, this time, the group that was going off duty had to stay with the group that was going on duty. They're going to do a little overtime work here. They were temporarily drafted by the military to guard the temple area in case Athaliah caused trouble. Verse 5. A third of you at the royal palace and a third at the foundation gate, and all the other men are to be in the courtyards of the temple of the Lord. And so more Levites were assigned to guard the way from the royal palace where Athaliah was to the temple where young Joash would be anointed as king. 6. No one is to enter the temple of the Lord except the priests and Levites on duty. They may enter because they are consecrated, but all the other men are to guard what the Lord has assigned to them. So the little king would be anointed in that temple, and they were to keep everybody out except those who were on duty and those who were doing the guarding. And so none of the extra people could go into the inner temple itself. The priests who were on duty did that and carried out the daily religious activities as usual on this very special day. But nobody else was to be led into the temple because they had to guard the king. Verse 7. The Levites are to station themselves around the king, each man with his weapons in his hand. Anyone who enters the temple must be put to death. Stay close to the king wherever he goes. And so the Levites were to guard the young king at all costs and at all times. This was the Lord's will. 8. The Levites and all the men of Judah did just as Jehoiada, the priest, ordered. Each one took his men, those who were going on duty on the Sabbath and those who were going off duty, for Jehoiada the priest had not released any of the divisions. The Levites, who normally would have gone home, had to, as I mentioned earlier, work overtime. Jehoiada, he needed as many men as he could possibly find to help protect the young king in that temple. Verse 9. Then he gave the commanders of units of 100, the spears and the large and small shields that belonged to King David that were in the temple of God. You know, captured military equipment was always put in the house of God as trophies to the Lord. So there was a lot of military things there. And that's why the people Jehoiada surrounded the king with were very well armed to protect him. 10. He stationed all the men, each with his weapon in his hand, around the king, near the altar and the temple, from the south side to the north side of the temple. So the temple area was filled. The temple area, I should say, was packed with armed Levites and others, with Joash in the middle. They would protect the little king from his wicked grandmother and her soldiers, or they would die trying. Verse 11, Jehoiada and his sons brought out the king's son and put the crown on him. They presented him with a copy of the covenant and proclaimed him king. They anointed him and shouted, "Long live the king!" They took little Joash out of the temple chamber where he had been hiding for 6 years, and he was officially anointed by the priest as the new king of Israel. And this is something, by the way, that never had been done to his grandmother, Athaliah. She simply usurped the throne, murdering any legitimate heirs. 12. When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and cheering the king, she went to them at the temple of the Lord. Something's up. Athaliah heard the trumpets blasting and the people shouting for joy at the temple. Something strange was happening. And so she came to the temple to see what was up. 13. She looked, and there was the king, standing by his pillar at the entrance. The officers and the trumpeters were beside the king, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, and singers with musical instruments were leading the praises. Then Athaliah tore her robes and shouted, "Treason, treason." Athaliah is furious as she screams, "Treason." Who is she kidding? Who is she trying to kid? Treason. She could not have been more wrong. She had been guilty of treason 6 years earlier by killing every rightful heir to David's throne that she could find so that she could usurp the throne. That's what I call treason. But this woman is like so many today even, who are given over to their sin. She calls wrong right and right wrong in order to justify her own warped behavior. 14. Jehoiada the priest sent out the commanders of units of 100 who were in charge of the troops and said to them, "Bring her out between the ranks and put to the sword anyone who follows her." For the priest had said, "Do not put her to death at the temple of the Lord." Jehoiada commands his men to surround Athaliah and remove her from the temple area, and don't let any of her, if she has any followers, don't let any of them get close enough to her to communicate. Surround her and get her out of this temple. 15. So they seized her as she reached the entrance of the horse gate on the palace grounds, and they put her to death. And she may have thought that she had gotten away with her idolatry and her murders, but the justice and punishment of God eventually caught up to Athaliah. God's vengeance is not always immediate, but it eventually catches up with the sinners who refuse to repent. 16. Jehoiada then made a covenant that he and the people and the king would be the Lord's people. And so Jehoiada, what a man this guy was, huh? What a godly man. In the midst of all the evil in Israel, in Jerusalem, here was a godly man who grabbed the spiritual bull by the horns and said, "Enough of this evil. We're going to do something about it." And he, by the grace of God, spearheaded this entire operation, and now he leads the people and the new king in a solemn oath to serve the Lord. Verse 17. All the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They smashed the altars and idols and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Athaliah had erected a temple for idolatry in the area of God's holy temple. She, like her mother and father, Ahab and Jezebel in the north, were big promoters of Baal. Well, part of being sold out to God is getting rid of everything God hates. And so idolatry is removed from Jerusalem. 18. Then Jehoiada placed the oversight of the temple of the Lord in the hands of the priests who were Levites, to whom David had made assignments in the temple, to present the burnt offerings of the Lord as is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing, as David had ordered. He also stationed doorkeepers at the gates of the Lord's temple, so that no one who was in any way unclean might enter. To honor God with proper worship, the temple operations had to function according to the word of God. And as a result, Jehoiada makes sure that that's what happens. Verse 20. He took with him the commanders of hundreds, the nobles, the rulers of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the temple of the Lord. They went into the palace through the upper gate and seated the king on the royal throne. Little Joash is now sitting on that big old ivory throne, remember, that Solomon had built, overlaid with gold? Little guy, can you see a little guy on top of that big throne? 7 years old. 21. It says they went into the palace through the upper gate and seated the king on the royal throne, and all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, because Athaliah had been slain with the sword. God put an end to the evil reign of one of the worst women in Scripture, Athaliah. True worship of God was restored, and the nation rejoiced. Good people were being good, and they were worshiping God, and therefore, if there were any bad people around, they stayed in the closet, as it were, and that's where they did their bad, because good was being promoted and bad was being punished, and the people would be blessed as a result. So it is a time of refreshment for God's people and for the southern kingdom of Judah. Next time, chapter 24. Till then, so long, everyone.